there has been, a precedent for this, right? We haven't had a big brawl in a while in college basketball. I guess the last one that really felt the same as this one was Xavier versus Cincinnati, right? I mean, that was probably that was over a decade ago, right? I mean, that was
2011.
So 10 years ago. Now, if you'd asked me to bet on that, I would have thought it was like 2007, 2006. I feel like that's been a long time ago. But anyways, okay, so 2011, that was the infamous zip them up game. We zipped them up is what the Xavier guy said in the post-game press conference, which is kind of crazy in hindsight that they let these college athletes do a post-game press conference after getting into a big brawl when tensions and emotions were high, but they did, and that led to one of the best sound bites ever. But all right, so there was a pretty bad brawl there, Cam. You have the punishments from those games?
Yeah, so there was a total of 4 players on Cincinnati and 4 players on Xavier who got suspended. Cincinnati had 3 players get 6-game suspensions.
So 6 games for Cincinnati.
One guy had 1 game suspension.
Was 6 the biggest suspension in the Cincinnati game? Because I remember there was one guy there that really escalated.
Gates.
Who?
Yancey Gates.
Yancey Gates, yeah. Yancey Gates was the one that got it popping. He only got 6 games?
Yeah.
He was, like, trying to fight everybody. I think he punched a Xavier assistant coach, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was definitely the worst
But 6 games was the worst punishment handed down there?
Yeah. And then Xavier had 2 guys get 4 games, a guy get 2 games, and 1 guy get 1 game.
Okay.
So
6 was the biggest punishment. I would imagine we're going to see worse than 6 games here.
I think so.
Just like when you bring in the stool or the chair. I thought it was a chair. I just got a picture from Tyler Wyatt who's sitting in. It looks like a bar stool in this one, which is crazy because I would have swore it was a chair. Maybe I've been Mandela affected, but it looks like a bar stool in this one. Maybe he did it twice.
What, maybe. The Kansas guy?
Yeah.
I told you it looked like a small chair, like one of those.
Well, it looks like a stool in this one.
Let me see. It looks like one of those.
I think there's a back to it. This picture's deceiving, though. It does look like just a chair in this one. Here's the picture.
I think it's one of those small-ass chairs, the ones that are like, this does look like a stool.
Yeah, I feel like I was deceived yesterday. Now,
there could be a back to it.
There could be a small back to it.
It's like one of those small, like the guys that have the cameras, the kind of chairs that they're on. You know, those tiny black chairs, like the really small black chairs.
I've seen small chairs, but the camera thing's not really helping me.
A chair that you could carry easily in your hand.
Just a fold-out chair? I can feel like you could.
A fold-out chair, but not the full metal one.
Yeah. Okay, a plastic one.
Yeah, like a
that
plastic.
One didn't look plastic.
That kind of looks like maybe.
If it was plastic, they should have let him just swing it and see what happened.
I mean, it might have metal legs, but then it's got like the circular seat, the small seat.
Yeah.
You might see a photographer with one. I think it's that kind of chair.
Okay.
The kind of chair that I have from.
I've got more picture evidence. It looks like a stool in this picture too. Have we been deceived? It looks like a stool right there from the back angle. Doesn't look like there's a back there.
I've never seen a stool that has legs like that though. See how the legs are crossed? Do you see a stool like that? Normally a stool has 4 legs, one
coming
out of.
I've found a good picture of it. It's just the one circle and it has like the crossed legs.
Right.
There's no
back
on it.
That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, there's no back on
it. Okay. Either way.
There doesn't appear to be a back on it.
All right, so a stool. Stool is definitely not a part of the game, by the way. Stool is definitely not a part of the game. Definitely
a lot of coaches will have a stool.
Who, Derek Dooley?
Other coaches. Basketball coaches have stools.
I've only seen that Ron Hunter guy. That's it.
I've seen
several. Ron and Dooley. That's the only people I've seen with stools.
There's several basketball coaches.
I feel like everyone got rid of the stool whenever Ron fell off of it. They're like, we need a back on here. This is dangerous.
The Washington Post calls it a stool.
Okay. All right. Well, sorry for us spreading fake news.
Now I'm over here watching the Cincinnati fight.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yancey Gates was ready to go. It's crazy to me he only got 6 games when you see that happen. But, again, I would imagine that you will see bigger punishments handed out now.
Yeah, he got a clean shot in on somebody.
For the foreign object, and plus we make a bigger deal about things now than we do back then. And it spilled over kind of outside of off of the court. There's a lot of scared band members or there's that one woman that's kind of like stuck right next to D'Souza, like she's involved in it. So this one will probably be worse for everyone involved. So we'll see how many people, who's suspended for Kansas. It helps Tennessee's chances. I still don't know if Tennessee has a chance to like really go in there and win, but it helps their chances. So I guess it's gone from 10, 15% up to 20, something like that. Maybe we'll see. I don't know. But Tennessee has played two of their best games in back-to-back games, especially the three halves in a row. The first half against Vanderbilt wasn't great, but the second half against Vanderbilt and really both halves last night, Tennessee looks good. Now, granted, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss stink. Don't get me wrong. Those are probably the two worst teams in the SEC.
Yeah, they're awful.
But Tennessee shot the ball well. Tennessee did some things on offense that gives you a little hope. When I say shot the ball, it wasn't really from the three-point range. It was really what we talked about, like going to the rim, right? That was something I wanted to see, and Tennessee was able to kind of get out in transition and get to the rim a little bit easily, a little bit easier than in usual, and was able to finish. You know, Ole Miss stinks, but Tennessee had a good performance in both halves.
Now we're going to go up to Kansas thinking we got a chance to win.
I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, maybe if there's a bunch of suspensions and they're down to like five or six scholarship players, maybe people will then think a win's coming. But I'm not expecting a win. Cam, you expecting a win on Saturday? I'm not.
No.
I'm not
either. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs down from Tucker. He's not expecting
but
a win.
That's what these internet people are going to be saying.
You got to quit living in the internet bubble.
That's what they're going to be saying.
There's some crazy people on the internet. That doesn't mean everyone thinks that. It doesn't mean that's a common thought of people.
I didn't say everyone thinks that.
You said we're going to think that. Huh?
These internet people are
a
loud majority.
Who cares what the internet people think? They're not a majority.
You've helped rally them.
They're not a majority, though.
You're part of the reason they exist.
I mean, that's fine, whatever, but they're not a majority.
They're a loud minority.
You got to quit using your – you got to quit taking things from the internet to come on here and argue with. And you sound like a bitter old man these days about the internet kids.
I am.
Every day it's something new with
they're
you and the
internet
people.
They're not internet kids. They're middle-aged people.
Okay, it's the opposite. You and the internet people. You guys have a real beef.
I can't mute them all.
Then just log off the internet, bro.
No.
Just leave the internet.
I will never log off.
Just close your eyes.
Yeah.
I will never log off.
Mute them. Get a better echo chamber,
I'm saying you created the echo chamber.
I don't see the same guys you see.
You see all the same
I don't see the same
stuff.
Guys you see. I haven't seen too many people saying we're going to go to Kansas and win. So we're apparently not on the same internet.
I can't just – a lot of them work here at the station.
Who are you talking about?
A lot of guys that were here at the station.
Who at the station is saying we're going to beat Kansas?
It's not saying we're going to beat Kansas. It's just as soon as something happens, the Kansas players, they should be suspended.
Well, they should be suspended. They were fighting. They should be suspended.
It would be a shame if they were all suspended.
That's
for the
not
next
a biased
game.
Take. They should be suspended.
But you know what it's leading to.
What is it leading to?
Disappointment, like always.
That's a sad way to look at it.
It's the truth. We got these people that get everybody all riled up, and then we disappoint.
I'm not.
It's a tale as old as time.
Who's riled up about January basketball against Kansas?
A lot of people getting excited about this Kansas game now. I'm telling you, by Saturday, if they have some suspensions, we're all going to be giddy as hell going into this game.
I mean, I think it's okay to be excited about a basketball game.
Yeah, but it leads to disappointment.
We don't need everyone to be like you, Eeyore McClure.
This team sucks, and it's going to lead to disappointment. Now we've beaten two bad teams.
The team doesn't suck.
They suck.
They don't
yes,
suck.
Yes, they do. Let's be real.
Suck?
They suck.
What does suck mean?
Not making the tournament. We've beaten the two worst teams in the conference, and now Kansas is going to have a couple of suspended players, and we're all going to get in line like the sheep that we are, and we're going to march up to Lawrence, and we're going to think we got a chance to beat Kansas.
Whoa. You just had three intelligent people here tell you that we're not going to win. Maybe pay more attention to us than the internet people.
I wasn't specifically talking about this room.
I mean, that's fine. That's fine. We're not going to beat Kansas.
And I don't think this is some sort of a Mensa gathering, this room,
when we all
get together here.
Two of four of us really intelligent. One is very intelligent. Then there's a fourth one that's just kind of here.
I'm not sure who you're referring to.
That's the loaded. It's the it's the uh, It's the firing squad conundrum here.
You can say what
you want. Who is the one with the blank?
You can say whatever you want, but I've got the highest IQ in this room.
I didn't say anything. I do know I hit dog collars.
I know what you're trying to say.
I do know I hit dog collars, though.
Yeah, I've heard you say that expression.
Well, you should pick up on it by now.
Yeah.
Not to holler.
Guys with double-digit IQs use the same expression continuously.
Not to yelp.
Guys with low IQs always use the same expression.
Maybe it's me.
It is known.
It could be me.
It is known. You were trying to I know what you were trying to do.
I could have been just as easily talking about intern Tucker over there.
I saw the grin on your face. I knew what you were trying to do.
Well, I mean, what I was trying to do is call one of you guys stupid, or me.
You were trying to call me stupid.
I was not trying to call you stupid.
Yes, that's exactly what you
were. I could have been trying to call Tucker stupid.
I think we all remember what happened when the IQ test.
I kicked your ass in it.
No, you didn't.
What?
The second time around, I had a
higher score.
You don't
get two tries. You get one. You don't get to memorize the test and go back and do it.
It's a different set of questions.
You got your ass kicked in the IQ test.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes.
Even if I lost to you, I'm still in the triple digits.
I'm not saying anything about your intelligence.
That's exactly what you're trying to say.
Quit limping around, you little hit dog.
That's exactly what you're trying to say.
Get ran over.
You sound really smart.
I'm not calling you dumb.
That's
no one
exactly
ever called
what
you dumb.
That's exactly
no,
what you were
not.
Trying to do.
If you were smart
yes,
enough, you would have picked up on it that I wasn't calling you dumb. I was calling Tucker dumb.
And here's another thing. I'm about tired of this. You can't call me dumb and not consider yourself dumb. Have you ever heard the expression that the five people you spend the most amount of time with are the people that you become?
I worry about that every
basically.
Day.
Basically.
I worry about that
so
every day.
So if you want to call me
dumb. I'm hoping I pull you up more than you drag me down.
If you want to call me dumb, you're basically calling yourself dumb. You might as well look in the mirror.
I didn't call you dumb.
You tried to infer that. Tried to infer that.
You would be the one inferring. I would be the one implying.
You tried to imply that.
You inferred incorrectly.
Don't even come at me with language, okay?
You messed up infer, imply, not
if you
me.
If you want to do your logical, I'm smart, I know math. If you want to do that, fine.
I didn't
but
say,
don't come at me with language.
I was simply just saying you inferred,
32
I
on the English portion of the ACT right here.
I didn't imply anything. I didn't imply what you're accusing me of.
I did not use
implying.
The correct expression. I misspoke in terms of my expressions.
What was your ACT score?
A 32 on the English portion.
What about
overall? It doesn't matter what the overall was. So 32 on the English portion. I could have gotten into Harvard as a writer.
Could you?
Do you want to see my scores?
I believe you. I think you're an intelligent person. That's why I surround myself with
clearly
you every
not.
Day.
Clearly not.
I didn't. I never called you dumb.
You tried to.
No, I didn't.
You've said it many times.
It was just a firing squad. Firing squad situation. I was just going to let it linger out for one of us four to wonder, am I the dumb one of the group? And you immediately grabbed the bull by the horns. Congratulations.
Because I knew what you were trying to do.
Yeah,
I knew
the
game.
The
I knew the little game you were trying to play.
Yeah. Did you?
Which is why I attempted to crush it before it came to surface.
Yeah. You really proved me wrong with the whole imply and fur thing. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Coming out of last night's beatdown of Ole Miss, Cody still thinks we suck.
We do.
Cam, do you think we suck? Because I don't feel like suck is the word I'm using. Missed the tournament. I could see that obviously happening. Like I think it's still a 50-50 proposition. Cam, how do you feel about the team coming out of these last three halves of basketball?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we suck. We are playing really good basketball right now, but I'd still say we're a pretty average team. It's just kind of the way I'd put it. Nothing spectacular. Like, yeah, we'll have a shot at the tournament, but yeah, I think we're really average.
I feel like if you can't crack the top 68, you kind of suck.
Now, 20-something of those are given away to small schools, so really it's only like the top like 40.
Those are good teams. Well-deserved. Well-deserved.
Tennessee currently sitting right now, I think, number 43 in the BPI. Which I guess is, does the BPI even matter?
No.
The BPI doesn't even matter, huh? Like, I'm constantly reminded of how mad I am that the RPI is gone. I never know where to go to find out where we're at, like what we're looking like.
They took it away from us.
Go to these damn net ratings now because apparently you can't find those on ESPN anymore.
John Fulkerson was our leading scorer last
John night. Fulkerson was really, really good. It looked at one point that Fulkerson might drop 30 and 10 on Ole Miss's head because he had 16 and like 6 at halftime.
It's a good sign.
We're 57 currently in the net rankings. I don't know when the last time that's been updated is. Through games on January 21st, so I guess it has been updated. Like last night was obviously not a big win resume-wise. That was just a big-time you avoided a big-time loss. Like last night didn't do anything for you other than give you a conference win, keep you in tied for third place because Florida lost, which, by the way, LSU is doing that damn thing again where they just keep winning all these stupid games.
They did it last year.
They did it last year. They're doing it again this year. Have you seen what they've done so far this year? Like what their last like five games have been since they played us?
I don't know. They beat us down. That's all.
They
I
beat
know.
Us down, and
they
then
beat
two,
Ole Miss.
2-point win against Arkansas. 1-point win against Mississippi State. 4-point win against Texas A&M. 4-point win against Ole Miss. 2-point wins last night against Florida. As the game tying bucket was deemed to be a tenth of a second too late for Florida.
Win them close, Will.
That's what they do. Will Wade just flies close to the sun in everything he does. He is barely beating the FBI. He is barely beating the AD at LSU. Like, he's barely keeping his job. And apparently he's going to barely win the SEC again because they're undefeated and haven't lost in conference play, despite, like I said, their last five games being decided by an average of 2 points. 3 points. Good for him.
Man, in our last 10 games, we played Kentucky twice, Arkansas twice, and Auburn twice, and Florida.
Well, that's something we've been keeping an eye on, though, because the good news there, Cody, is that you should be playing your best basketball by then. Like this team that is, you know, trying to find its roles, and this team that's trying to find different types of contributors and different, you know, get different people to step up in different situations. You should be able to be playing your best basketball starting around the middle of February. That's the hope, at least.
We also play Alabama on the road in that stretch, which I don't know if they're good, but I know that we don't really fare well down there. That's really rough.
No, but that's why this stretch has, you know, been important for Tennessee. We said they needed to go at least, 3-1 over their next four games? Well, that was, I guess, for the Missouri, South Carolina, Georgia, Vandy stretch. We said they need to go 3-1. They did that, and then they added a win last night. So they are beating the teams they're supposed to beat. So far in conference play, that's been the case. They probably shouldn't have beaten LSU. They didn't. They were underdogs slightly to Georgia. Now, the final score was ugly, don't get me wrong. Georgia beat the hell out of us, which made the game seem worse. But it's okay to lose at Georgia. You go to Kansas, you do what you do whatever there. If you win, congratulations, big win. If not, so what? And then you get back and you go Texas A&M at Mississippi State at Alabama. Yeah, you would really be benefited to win two of those three games. To beat Texas A&M at home and then find a way to win one of those road games against Mississippi State and Alabama. And then at that point you're okay, I think.
Yeah.
5-3 through your first eight games. It's going to get tougher, but can you find like maybe three wins the rest of the season? I would hope so. Especially with getting to play Vanderbilt at home and Arkansas at home and going to South Carolina. Like you would hope you'd be able to win those three games.
So if you win, so you got 12 wins. So you're 12-7. You got
12-6. Seven wins in Kansas.
12-7. I know. I mean, I was just counting.
Okay, gotcha.
So then you're saying win 2 out of 3 against A&M at Mississippi State and Alabama?
Yeah.
So that
would be the next
14,
little goal that you look at. You're like, okay, let's just find a way to win two of these games.
14-8. So then you got to win in those last 9 games.
You would really have to win at least 3. 4 would probably get you to where you need to be.
Yeah.
Or 4 at least probably gets you in the situation. 3 or 4 wins would keep you alive going to the SEC tournament.
It's just a bad way to finish the season, though.
It is. And Tennessee had a similar end last year, right? Didn't we have a similar end there? I know we played LSU and Auburn like 2 of the last 3 or 4 games. I feel like we had a backloaded schedule that year, too.
Yeah, but I mean to go 4-6 down
sure.
the stretch.
Sure, that's not good. And hopefully Tennessee could do better. But, I mean, realistically, you would have to find a way to win, you know, 4 games there.
Yeah, maybe. That might be doable. I mean, you got Vandy in South Carolina in there. You got Florida at home.
Even Auburn at home, like I'm not like Auburn, you know, got smacked around a little bit last week for two games.
Yeah, and Arkansas too. Like those two teams at home, I mean, maybe you could win one of those games.
Right. And I think if you win six more games in conference, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't tell if we're
six more wins at conference actually gets you in for sure. I'm pretty like at 10-8. I would imagine that would get Tennessee in the tournament. If you win five more games and you're at 500 in conference, I think you would be okay, but probably on the bubble needing to win SEC tournament game.
I don't know. I can't really tell if we're good.
I mean, I don't think we're good by any means. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're good. I just feel like saying we suck's a little harsh.
Yeah, we suck compared to last year, I guess.
I would agree with that. We do suck compared to last year. Again, John Fulkerson might be our best player.
He was our seventh or eighth best guy last year.
Like
that's what I'm looking at. He's our leading scorer last night. That's a huge problem.
But I will say at a certain point we have to say, hey, maybe John Fulkerson's actually pretty good.
I don't think he is, though.
There's a chance John Fulkerson might be an all-SEC player.
Oh, come on.
I mean, there's a chance.
Come on.
I don't think it's a good chance. There's a chance.
You kidding me?
I don't know.
An all-SEC player?
I didn't say first team. Depends on how Tennessee finishes. Depends on how Tennessee, you know, does down the stretch. But, I mean, last night was an all-SEC type of performance. He had 18-10 with three steals. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty good. But that Ole Miss team was awful.
They are.
The Tyree guy, if he's not scoring, they're terrible.
They are awful, but I'm just looking at, like, out of his last five games, he scored double figures four times. He's grabbed double-digit rebounds twice, eight rebounds another game. Like, yeah. His conference stats are off to a pretty good start, is all I'm saying.
Well, he's had good games against South Carolina and against Ole Miss.
Sure. I don't know if he's going to be able to handle Kentucky or Blackshear. I get that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
At a certain point, I don't know if it's an insult that Fulkerson's our best player anymore.
I think we'll see it on display against teams like Kentucky.
Yeah, we might.
I mean, you know,
we might see it this weekend against what's that big guy's name? I forgot that.
Azubuike.
There you go.
Yeah,
from Kansas. We might see it this weekend against Azubuike.
He didn't play last year against us, right?
No, he did. He did. He fouled out.
Azubuike did.
And then their other big guy was it Dedrick Lawson? Was that his name? Dominate us?
Yeah, I don't know.
I believe that was his name, was Dedrick Lawson, the guy that transferred from Memphis. He kicked our ass.
Didn't he? Well, we played them 2 years in a row, didn't we? Or am I misremembering? I don't know.
I know Azubuike played against us last year. I don't know if we played them another time where he didn't play or what, but he played against us last year.
Going to Kansas. You going to the game?
Am I going to Kansas? No, I'm not. I'm not going over to Kansas. Azubuike only played 17 minutes against us last year. Maybe that's what you're remembering, is that he was just in foul trouble the entire time.
Perhaps.
Like, he only had 9 points against us. He didn't hurt us. It was Dedrick Lawson who had 24 and 13 and 5. Like, he was balling. Should have won that game last year too, by the way. He really choked in that game.
And we would have been 24-0.
Correct.
If we won that game.
Correct. And we'd have had a long run at number one.
We've already got as many losses as we did last year.
Comparison is a thief of joy, McClure.
That's right.
Comparison is the thief of joy. Quit comparing us to last year. Yeah. Last year ain't coming back, okay?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I don't miss last year like it was some great achievement. I mean, we made the Sweet 16, couldn't even win the conference, so. I'm just saying, I miss watching that team in the regular season. You know, we beat teams down in the regular season. That's all I'm saying.
Comparison, thief of joy.
Maybe I'm a thief of joy.
Just quit sacrificing your joy. Quit giving it away. Quit letting it be stolen from you.
I don't have any joy watching this team play.
Okay, maybe joy's not the right word to use because, quite frankly, I don't have a lot of joy either. But
well, there you go.
But, however, it's nice to win. It's nice to feel like you have a shot to make the tournament. The tournament was the goal this year, all right? That was the goal. The tournament's still the goal, and if we lose and don't make the tournament, it's going to be a failure of a season, and people could be mad.
Nah, who cares?
You don't even care anymore?
I don't even care.
One in Stripes says, before the injuries his freshman year, wasn't focused on playing at a higher level than Grant, or am I mistaken? I don't really remember how he was compared to Grant, but Fulkerson's freshman year, yeah, Fulkerson looked like a good player his freshman year. So, I mean, maybe he's just now back healthy and being able to be solid. I mean, he was pretty good against, was it Oregon his freshman year? I feel like he was pretty good against. Now you got people calling you racist against Fulkerson.
Never mind that Grant Williams was a back-to-back SEC player of the year.
Again, I am not going to say he was better than Grant Williams. Let me pull up the old box score. Okay?
People against, calling me racist against my against own
Fulkerson.
Race?
Fulkerson. Self-loathing. You're a self-loathing white.
A self-loathing white?
Yep.
I do think there's been a problem in this country for many years.
Fulkerson against Oregon had 12 points, 5 blocks. Wow, damn, Fulkerson. 12 points, 5 blocks, 10 rebounds. It's a pretty good game. Pretty good game for Fulky. Grant Williams that game only had 3 points and 3 rebounds. Maybe we're onto something. Maybe John Fulkerson has always been destined to be better than Grant Williams.
Grant Williams was the 47th power forward coming out, and Fulkerson was the 59th.
Okay, so he was a little, just slightly ahead of him.
Yeah.
I mean, neither one of those guys were very highly touted.
Both out of North Carolina, though, so he was, Fulkerson was the ninth in the state. And
nah, Fulkerson's not from North Carolina. Fulkerson's from Tennessee, isn't he?
I don't know what this means.
It
says NC.
I thought Fulkerson was from, like, Kingston, or Kingsport. Kingsport, isn't he from Kingsport?
It says Arden, North Carolina.
Okay, maybe I've been wrong on this. No, it's, well, his 247 profile says Arden, North Carolina. You're right. Is that like around the border or something?
I guess so. Not sure.
Have I been lied to this whole time? Because it's funny because if you Google John Fulkerson 247, it says he's a 6'7", 190-pound small forward from Kingsport, Tennessee. You click on his profile, it says Arden, North Carolina.
Maybe he was in Kingsport but played in Arden? I don't know how that would work, but... Huh. Not sure.
Yeah, I'm just his ESPN profile says Tennessee as well. So, but his recruiting profile does say Arden, North Carolina. I see that too. I wonder if that's nearby or what. Either way, whatever. He might be our best player. That's our reality right now, Cody. And you need to get with it and just accept it and quit letting that skew your view of this team.
That our best players is
white guys can be good at basketball too, okay?
So now I'm a racist against my own race.
Have you seen Luka? Luka's white. He's pretty good. Now, granted, he's European white.
Most white guys I've met in my life I really didn't like, so maybe I am racist against my own
race. A self-loathing white.
I don't know.
Fulkerson was our only starter last night to shoot above 50% from the field.
I don't like any of the white guys in this room, I tell you that.
It really wasn't a – you could have just said you didn't like two of the guys in the room and give us the firing squad conundrum of – we assume it's us two, but who
– I don't like half the white guys in this room.
That's better.
I got no problem.
I wouldn't go celebrating
Tucker.
If I were you, Tucker.
I mean, I don't have a big problem with Tucker. I wouldn't say like, per se, but, you know.
For us to score 73 points, like, Fulkerson really, like, carried the load last night from the field goal percentage because, you know, like I said, Bowden, 3 of 8. Another night where he's 1 of 5 from 3. What is this guy's deal this year? Pons, 2 for 7. He even missed a dunk / putback. Josiah Jordan-James, another weird night from him, 3 of 10. Vescovi, 1 of 5. His 5 shots were all 3-pointers. Jalen Johnson was a nice little spark off the bench. I don't know. We'll see what this team does. But just to get it out there, I don't expect us to beat Kansas on Saturday. All right?
I don't think I do either.
Okay.
So this room is 0-4 against winning the game at Kansas Saturday.
Good. Good.
You're going to hear other shows say that we have a chance.
Yeah, we're at this weird position now where we got like 5 minutes left in the hour, but we can't take a commercial break. But I don't have anything to talk about right now. We don't have a hat anymore.
Yeah, we need the hat.
We don't have a hat anymore.
Need to get the hat back. Cam said he had some topics, but
he does. I think they're all like on the shelf in there. But you quit bringing in the hat and the props.
The hat got stolen.
Yeah, we actually lost the hat.
Chance took the hat.
Chance stole the hat from us.
He did. And the thing with the props is, like, I just that, it's hard to carry everything.
Just like that, or he also, like, he was just, I don't know if they were, like, jealous of the hat or what, but, like, the hat was gone, and now we don't have a hat anymore.
We do need to start bringing the props back in, but yeah. I could use a little help. You know,
I mean,
Tucker, maybe.
I got you an intern just for that.
The board is already here, so Tucker, maybe you could start bringing in the horn every day.
Somebody needs to make sure that Sharpie gets away from the board, by the way.
Yeah, who?
That looks like a Sharpie. Is that not a Sharpie?
It is a Sharpie, yeah.
Get the Sharpie away from the board. That way no one accidentally uses the Sharpie as a blackboard.
Yeah, that's a Sharpie. You ever sniff those in school? They'll get you a little high. You can get a tiny buzz.
I've seen people sniff like the magic markers.
Sharpies are great. You got to really do it for a few minutes, so really get the fumes.
I never really saw the Sharpies. Will you quit sniffing those?
Just here, take
I never really saw the Sharpies laying around in school. I always saw the magic markers laying around.
Just take one hit.
I'm good.
They smell good. I just like the way they smell. You never like...
I do like the way they smell.
You just hate the way they sound. That's your
thing. I hate the way they sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, yeah.
That's how the Expo markers sound.
Yeah, that is.
That was really accurate.
The Expo marker doesn't bother me. It's the Sharpie on, like, paper or, like, especially cardboard if you're writing with it on something like that. That's what bothers me.
Yeah.
On the chalkboard or the whiteboard, not. That doesn't really bother
me. They don't bother you on the board?
No, that doesn't really bother me.
That squeaky sound?
No, it's the squeaky sound, like, on paper or, like, cardboard. Ugh, look, you can't see because I got a hoodie on, but I got goosebumps just thinking
Sharpie
about
on cardboard? Like if you're packing to move and you write right. kitchen?
Yeah.
Ugh. Really?
Yeah, that gets me.
That does?
Yeah.
Well, who uses a Sharpie on paper? Is that a thing people do?
I don't know. I've seen people use Sharpie on paper.
That's crazy.
If you don't have a pen, you need to write something down. I got a Sharpie here.
Yeah, but you can never make good letters. You know, if you're writing with a Sharpie on notebook paper, it bleeds through, and you can never – sometimes you'll tear the paper if you push down too hard. You can never make proper letters.
I've got a real dilemma I need answered, but I feel like it's going to take more than 2 minutes to do. So
all right, ask away.
I just said it was going to take more than 2 minutes.
We'll make it quick.
I feel like it needs to be fleshed out a little bit more, so maybe we'll do it the next hour after headlines.
What's it about?
My upcoming birthday.
March.
Yeah.
Your birthday's March.
8th.
Is it 8th?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yep. Pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the day.
Yeah.
But I trust that if you say it's the 8th, I believe you.
Yeah. I got it.
My grandma's is the 5th.
Is she still alive?
Yeah. She'll be 80.
Wow. So she's got a big birthday coming up, too.
The big 8-0.
I'll be the big 3-0. She'll be the big 8-0.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you were born precisely 50 years. Well, not precisely, but pretty damn close.
Yeah.
She was born in 40.
I was born in 90.
There you go.
What's grandma's name?
What a time to be alive. Ruby.
What's her last name?
Oh, that's my grandma's name.
Hey, wow. Look at this. Something else me and Cam have in common. Wilson.
So was that your mother's maiden name?
No, my mother's maiden name was Innes.
Don't ever give that out on the air, dude.
Why?
It's like a... Isn't it like a standard security question, like on your accounts?
Yeah, but you still got to have the password.
Not if you're resetting it. If you reset it, sometimes it's a security question of, well, what's your mother's maiden name? And you write it down, and then you can get into the account.
I don't ever do any of those.
You have to when you sign up for things.
Like what?
You have to. They make you go with 3 security questions. You don't get to bypass a security question. You're not special. Everyone has to answer the security questions.
They would also, but don't you need all the answers?
Sometimes it just like has
you
one.
You would also need to know that the first model of my...
I think you can pick which one you want to answer.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes you do. Sometimes they don't really give you an option.
I don't think you can get it hacked into somebody just if you know their mother's maiden name.
I think it's a good start.
Because
what was the name of your first pet?
Sally.
Sally?
Have you ever watched you?
The first make of my first vehicle was Ford.
I don't think that's a security question.
No, it is.
Is that really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
And I've seen that.
You can't get in with just knowing that.
What's
your hometown? Elementary school name?
Name of the street you grew up on? People fish on the internet. You're speaking of your internet people. Like sometimes they'll ask questions like that that help get information from people.
Yet more proof that it's just full of creeps on there.
You should log off.
I will never log off.
Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
I got a little bit of a dilemma I need to ask you about. Which, by the way, first of all, Corey says, my take that Derek Jeter was the second best shortstop on his team for the last 10 years is a trash take, to which I just say Alex Rodriguez was infinitely better than Derek Jeter. That's not close. You don't have to be a baseball genius to know that. Alex Rodriguez, much, much better than Derek Jeter.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Well, that is a trash take, my friend.
Well,
that is a trash take.
I have no way to back it up.
Okay.
I just want you to know I disagree.
Okay. Well, it's a trash take.
All right.
I've been telling you I got this dilemma. As you know, March 8th, my birthday, number 30. I have to RSVP to a wedding tonight that's on March 7th. Ugh. And I'm trying to decide on whether or not I'm RSVPing yes or no.
Yeah, don't go. Easy. Simple. Done. It's finished. Don't go.
7th is a Saturday.
I mean, that's all you need to hear about it is just like that. That's it?
Yep. It's a wedding. Don't go.
Weddings are fun. You don't like weddings? I'm not asking you. Cam, weddings are fun, though, right?
I have fun at weddings.
It's in Nashville.
Oh, definitely not going. Does it matter? Is it someone who matters?
Does she matter anymore?
A girl?
Well, it's like my good friend from high school and then some of college. Like, I mean, decently good. I mean, we don't talk much anymore, but I consider her a close friend, a lifelong friend type of thing.
Some girl I knew in high school invited me to a wedding the other day. You know what I did? Threw it in the trash.
I don't think that happened.
It did. It did happen last year. A girl I knew, her name was Bailey.
She knew your address in Knoxville to send you an invitation? Because I don't find this story very plausible.
She texted me one day out of the blue and asked for my address, and I just didn't reply. I didn't even think about it. And then I realized a couple months later she was getting married, and she probably...
So you didn't actually get invited to her wedding?
She was going to invite me. She was wanting to send me an invitation.
You think she might have been inviting you?
Why the hell would she want my address?
I don't know. You didn't reply.
And then, make sure she didn't accidentally send you an invitation.
I'm trying to make sure I don't accidentally send you one. She was.
That seems pretty presumptuous of you.
We were dear friends, and she got married a couple months later. Like, she was going to invite me to her wedding.
We think. We don't know for sure.
She was going to invite me, and I ghosted her.
So your story about throwing her invitation in the trash was...
That was a different friend.
Oh, that was a different friend.
That was a different friend.
Oh.
I don't go to weddings. I'm not close with enough people. So,
what if it's somebody you're close with? If I invite you to a wedding, you gonna come?
If you invite me, I'll go out of...
I'll feel obliged. Don't do me favors.
Before your birthday?
You will not be invited.
I will feel obliged.
You can go straight to hell. You won't be invited.
I will feel obliged to go to your wedding. But like if Tucker invites me to his, probably not. You know, until I'd have to get to know you first, you know. Right now, if you invited me, I probably wouldn't go. So
if I invited you to a wedding right now, I'd be just as shocked as you'd be.
Well, there you go. But most of the guys at the station.
Cam,
even,
you like weddings, right?
I do like weddings.
I like weddings too. I imagine
is it an open bar?
I'm imagining yes. I don't have that confirmed. I feel like it's tacky to ask. You don't ask people, right? Like you don't say, "Hey."
I've asked before.
Like it's kind of a big
key. Like to your close friends, though, right?
Yeah, I was gonna go. I just was asking to see.
I think it's kind of important because I think that's part of what gave me a bad experience with weddings.
If it's a cash bar, I'll survive. They'll be drinking there.
Well, no, I went to you. You've been to these Christian weddings, like the.
It's
very
not gonna be that. It's not gonna be that.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And I'm not saying they're not religious or whatever, but they'll be drinking at the bar at the wedding.
Okay. It's not going to be like a Southern Baptist
wedding.
What
I would do is I'd be in and I just turn it into a whole birthday weekend in Nashville.
Am I allowed to do that, though? Because, like, I mean, there'll be a lot of friends from my high school and college there. Am I allowed to, like, hijack the wedding and be like, hey, afterwards we're going out for my birthday? Like, you guys can all come out with me after the birthday? Because I feel like that might be a little tacky.
Well, what you do,
I feel
is
like
you
I have to completely
it.
Take a back seat to the wedding here.
Until the clock strikes midnight, and then you're like, you know what? This is now my birthday celebration. Let's ride.
I think you got to look at statistics. I think you got to play.
Is that? What the hell does that even mean? Well, look at statistics. What do the numbers say here?
I think you got to play the analytics here.
Yeah, what is that
chart?
What
does that mean?
You'll only turn 30 once.
Huh?
They'll statistically probably get married more than
once.
But
I'm only going once. Usually when people get remarried, they don't have a second wedding. Or like a big thing.
If they meet the love of their life again, they might.
They don't always do a big thing, though.
Which they
shouldn't
expect.
It gets significantly
much.
Smaller the second time, though. Only like 30 people will be there, and I don't think I'll make the cut for 30.
Well, are most of your friends going to be at this?
I would imagine so. That's also part of the dilemma. Like, if I stay and I try to have like a birthday party, they might feel obligated to go to her wedding, and then my friends might turn down my 30th birthday party.
Well, now, see, that's the thing. If you can't,
I have texted a couple of them to ask if they're going. I haven't heard back from them yet, so.
You don't want to be in a position where you make them choose between you and the wedding.
Yeah,
because like,
if I lose, I'll feel like a loser.
Well, and you don't want to celebrate your birthday, your 30th, by yourself. So,
correct.
Like, if all your friends are in Nashville at this
like
wedding,
I said, I'll feel like a loser.
I feel like you got to go now. Now that you know you consider all those factors.
But I invited her and her fiance to our housewarming party, and they never answered the invitation.
Oh.
We texted once. We sent a Facebook message another time. And then, like, a month and a half later, she responded the day before saying she just saw it and can't make it.
Which is a lie.
Right.
That's a bold-faced lie.
Correct.
I'm out on the wedding now. I'm going to Nashville for my birthday celebration and just happening to meet them at where they are, and I'm hijacking. That's the plan now.
Although, getting drunk.
That would feel bad, though, because they'll all be dressed up. Then I'll be underdressed at my own birthday party.
You just dress up just to... You stunt on them, full suited, and just...
Okay.
You should send out birthday invitations to the people that you want to come and say, please RSVP and please don't be wearing anything from the wedding. Please change clothes. Please wear jeans.
Okay.
It's a casual affair.
Send the marrying couple an invitation too. It's my birthday party.
I don't
birthday
know if
celebration
you do.
During the same time as their wedding.
I don't know if you do. And now that you mentioned that they ghosted you on the housewarming party, I think now maybe you make it kind of
a competition. That's rude. I don't want to be spiteful.
Well,
I don't want to be spiteful, but I was a little offended that I didn't at least get a text back.
You
like,
hold grudges.
I know they saw the text.
You're a grudge holding guy.
I know they saw the text.
Of course
like,
they saw the text.
Who doesn't see the text message?
Of course they saw the text.
You could have at least said, sorry, thanks for the invite. We'll be out of town because they don't live here. That simple. Bada boom, bada bing.
I think you.
But weddings are fun. And it'd be nice to see all my like high school and college friends again. Like the wedding we had last year was a lot of fun. It was a similar setup. It was a great night.
You could drink on their dime.
Good drink on their dime.
So maybe you go to the wedding, you drink on their dime, but your birthday's the next day, right?
Correct, on a Sunday, though, but nobody really wants
to
celebrate on a
Sunday. So the celebration would need to be on a Saturday night.
Right.
Well, why don't you just go to the wedding, you drink on their dime, you have a good time at the wedding. The drinking on your dime is you're getting back for them ghosting you on the housewarming party. And then you tell all your boys who are there, you say, hey, well, let's go out after this. Let's go change clothes. Let's go celebrate my birthday. That's not hijacking their day.
Yeah, they celebrate at the reception and stuff. The night can be yours.
Yeah.
The last couple of weddings I've been to, though, the people have celebrated afterwards, and then like we've gone out to the bars afterwards, too.
Yeah. So
but,
you
the wedding people have done that, too, though. So like the wedding party kind of continues.
The groom and bride, or bride and bride, or groom and groom. You
when
know,
did the last two weddings?
2020.
The first one definitely had the bride and groom come out afterwards. Second one, I can't remember. I don't think they did.
I thought they were supposed to go have sex. Like, don't. Aren't
I think that's
to?
Gone by the wayside a little bit. I think the sex on wedding night thing is kind of out the window.
Really?
I feel like most people are having sex before their wedding night these days.
What?
Well, yeah, but you got to have sex on the wedding night.
I
too.
Think most people are too tired afterwards. Like, hey, I'll get you in the morning, type of thing.
Well, that's you got to consummate the marriage, or it doesn't count.
I think you can do it the next morning. And sometimes people get the marriage license even before. My one friend, I don't know if I ever told you this, we had a whole big spill, whole big wedding in Atlanta, $1,000 down the drain, this big whole ceremony for his big wedding, only for him to tell us that weekend that they actually had gotten married a year before at the courthouse, and they'd been reaping the benefits of the taxes and all that for a year, but still wanted everybody to get together to celebrate them.
Smart?
It was smart, but I was very mad about that.
Yeah, that's something you gotta keep to yourself.
Yeah, like just ride that out all the way through the end. Because I was like, so why are we here? Oh, for my wedding. You got married last year.
Well, yeah, but you gotta celebrate. Yeah, everybody deserves one day
there's
to celebrate.
One thing between celebrating, there's another between all the hoops we had to jump through, the marching through the streets of Atlanta, all that stuff.
That would be inconvenient.
The thousands of dollars we had to spend.
I think, is this wedding a daytime wedding?
I would imagine it's like at 6. I can't confirm. The RSVP is sitting at home. I'd imagine it would be over by 8 or 10.
Who has a wedding in March? It's probably going to be cold.
I appreciate it more than like a July wedding. It's too hot then.
Yeah. I mean, me too. But I still.
When people are able to get married and want to get married, I don't judge. Just get married whenever you want to. If my friends want to get married Florida weekend or Alabama weekend, I would be there and support my friends.
No.
I'm a good friend.
Absolutely not.
I'm a great friend, actually. I'm a fantastic friend.
Yeah.
So I'd be there. I wouldn't complain. Get married when you want to get married. If they want to get married in March, I'll go. I'm a little annoyed that it's on my 30th birthday, but that's not their problem.
That's true.
It wasn't on her to be like, oh, well, we could get married this weekend, but my old friend Jonathan, he's turning 30 this weekend. We can't steal that. I had no problem with that.
Does she know what
you're doing? I don't
know. Yeah. We were, like I said, we were really good friends in high school.
I don't know, though. When you combine the ghost in you on the housewarming party and then the getting married on your birthday, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be friends with these people. Huh? And you just said it's some girl you knew from high school, right?
Like, we were friends. We were good friends in high school. We were friends in college.
Well, you haven't been in high school for 10 years.
I know, but this is a long-time friend was all I was saying. I know her since like 8th grade.
Yeah, but
we were friends in college. We had our 10-year reunion last year. We were friends there, too. Like, we're still friends. I mean, not close friends. I don't see them often, but
once a year, even?
Yeah, once a year. At a wedding or somewhere similar. Twice last year.
I don't think you should be obligated to show them any sort of loyalty.
Cam?
I think you should recruit at the wedding.
I'm not asking.
I think you should go to the wedding and you should recruit
the
people to your
birthday party.
The whole
thing about somebody in the room's a dumbass, no, I was talking about you.
I'm definitely hijacking.
So you're going to go and then just make it about myself. That's
bad
advice.
I said wait till midnight. I said you go out and celebrate with them, but as soon as it hits midnight, it's full send to you and you
can't
disregard
stay up till midnight.
That's the problem is I'm going to be tired.
He'll be done by midnight easy.
It is my birthday. I can go till midnight if I have to.
Yeah, I don't know.
Weddings will take a lot of me, though, and I do like dancing at weddings, and this would be a big dance wedding.
You got to be at the wedding and be like, hey, you going out for my birthday after this? Just ask everybody.
Yeah.
I say you go recruit at the wedding. Use it as to your advantage.
And have the best birthday party
and you have
11
a great
to
birthday
2 a.m.
Yeah. You should, that's regardless, you should have time to go out for your birthday. But do you think you should make people feel obliged to, like, hey, it's John's 30th birthday, we have to do something special? Or do you think they'll already feel that way?
I don't know, in my head I thought we
would. I'll sneak over there and throw you a surprise party at the wedding.
Okay, not a bad idea.
A surprise party at the wedding?
Yeah.
How is that not a bad idea?
I just wanted to be nice.
You said my idea is bad. You're saying Cam
idea.
Has a good idea?
It was
an awful
idea.
Don't do that.
Now, if you guys all got there, and like all my friends from here, like in Nashville, waiting at a bar, and I just happened to bring the wedding party in there, and then you guys were all there waiting, like with balloons that said "Happy Birthday, John," that would be pretty good.
Oh, see, now look what he expects us to do. Now we got to get involved
we
in this.
We can do that because the wedding's on my birthday.
Okay,
wait, it's your birthday's the 7th?
Yeah,
you didn't know when Kim's birthday was?
No,
it's a bad friend.
He never told me.
Now I'm hijacking Kim's birthday, but we can make it a double party. I do love double parties.
So we could all just go to Nashville.
We could do that.
And like, you
and then
said,
I'll tell you guys which bar we're all planning to go out afterwards, and then you guys are there, and we have balloons, and other people are there, and then they think people are celebrating them, but then we come in, boom, it's me and Ken's birthday, let's party.
And if you've been celebrating those other people all day, at that point, I think it's fine.
The gift and the appearance,
yeah,
that's
the
enough.
Transition. We make the transition from celebrating
right.
mine to yours.
Right.
And it just
we all
the
know. Yeah, we all know you guys got married today, but now, congrats. Now we're celebrating John
now
and apparently Cam's birthday.
Now it's the main event. The big 3-0. How old did you turn in, Cam? 25?
Yep.
The big 3-0 and 25. These are two big birthdays. 3-0 and 2-5. Those are big times.
2-5's not really that.
It's better than 2-4 and 2-6 and 2-7 and 2-8.
I mean,
and 2-9.
The only thing 25 does is officially put you closer to 50 than you were the day you were born.
You could also rent a car.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's true. Hey, yeah.
That's what I'm gonna do for my birthday.
Just rent a car and go right around.
Nice, you gotta have good credit though. I had a little trouble when I turned 25. I had to put a deposit down when I turned 25.
All right, I think I'm gonna go to the wedding. I got an RSVP tonight. This was helpful. And then you guys are gonna come to Nashville. At least Cam will be there.
Put it on the calendar.
Yeah, I could actually. There's a decent chance, maybe.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
It's the.
Tweeted out something yesterday, and I was surprised at the blowback I kind of got to it from some people. When we're talking about what the Titans should do, I'm getting really annoyed at the idea of the Brady to Tannehill, the Brady to the Titans thing. But apparently more people are in on this than I thought. More people are in on the idea of signing Tom Brady than I would have imagined that would be in 2020. Cody, I think I know how you feel. You want Brady, right?
Well, I mean, I don't. It's not so much wanting Brady to be there. It's to me, it's more like, is Tannehill as good as people think he is? You know what I mean? Like, I worry a little bit about Tannehill next year. I know they could rely on Derrick Henry in the playoffs, but did we not sort of start to see it a little bit when they needed Tannehill to win a game? I mean,
I don't think the Titans lost on Sunday because of Ryan Tannehill.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that I wonder if next year he's. I don't think he'll be able to sustain as the highest rated passer in the NFL or anything.
I mean, that's fine. I think he'll be the best quarterback in the league next year statistically? When you look at the advanced metrics, he'll be top three in pretty much every category, and he'll lead the league by a fair margin in air yards per attempt and yards per completion and all that. Probably not, but do I think he's going to go back to being bad at those things? No, I don't think so either.
And that's not what I'm saying, but I'm wondering if, like, I mean, it's still Tom Brady.
I understand, you know, but, like, it's 43-year-old Tom Brady.
I know he's old.
Like, he's 43.
I know he's old, but
he's 43.
He also didn't have hardly any weapons this year.
That's what everybody keeps saying. And
it's
that's
the truth.
I mean, I don't know if it's the truth or not.
It is.
It's not because the Patriots didn't try. They had a first-round running back. They drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, who was pretty good in Atlanta. They had the number one defense in the NFL this year. Like, how much more help does he need?
Some offensive playmakers would have been nice.
Edelman's a Hall of Famer.
Julian Edelman's the one guy that he had. I mean,
Julian Edelman's been a monster, like, for his entire career.
Wasn't Julian Edelman hurt for a portion of time?
He was playing.
Well, I mean, you got to look. He could have had Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, lost both of those guys. I mean, Gronk wasn't there anymore. Like, he was severely depleted in terms of what he's had before. I think the Titans have much better weapons, do they not, than what the Patriots had by the end of the year? I mean, I think between Derrick Henry being the best running back in the league, and I think that's what he became, and the tight ends having those three tight ends that are all weapons, A.J. Brown.
I don't know if I would call all three tight ends weapons.
Two of them are weapons.
It's not like he had all pros there. I mean, he had Jonnu Smith, who is athletic, but Firkser and Pruitt aren't exactly household names. They're not.
Firkser has made some big plays. He caught some passes.
Sure. Firkser had a nice catch in the playoffs. He had two nice catches, but to act like he's like some big-time weapon – seems a little misguided.
I think he's as. I mean, I think the tight ends that the Titans have are just as much weapons as anything Brady had.
Okay, sure.
Without Gronk.
I mean, if you want to say that, that's fine. I would say it's more so because they were getting the ball accurately thrown to them down the field, but
okay,
whatever.
Okay, we'll forget that regardless. Still, you've got the best running back in the league, which Brady certainly didn't have. And, they didn't have a Derrick Henry. And you get A.J. Brown, who's a hot, up and coming young receiver.
Sure.
I mean, I just...
So why do we want to take a hot up-and-coming receiver and then throw him out there to a quarterback who can't throw the ball down the field? Like, it's been... You know, if you go back to 2016, which I think 2016 was Brady's kind of... I mean, that was his last great year, probably. his last like MVP level year. I mean, that's the year he won MVP, right? Mm-hmm. He went in 2017. He went in 2017. But in 2016, that was a 4-game suspension. Came back, went 11-1, had a passer rating of 112, threw 28 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Like, Brady was awesome. His yards, average air yards per attempt were over nine. They were 9.3. Since then, it's gone down to 8.4, 7.8, all the way down to 6.8 this year. He dinks and dunks, so why would I want to take A.J. Brown, who you said is explosive and an elite receiver, why would I want to take him and then give him a quarterback that doesn't like throwing the ball down the field anymore? That seems like it would be counterproductive. The Titans' play action and the Titans' run game works because there is some mobility with Ryan Tannehill to get outside the pocket and throw on the run. Why would I want to remove Ryan Tannehill from that and put a guy back there that can't move?
I mean, I don't know. If you think that Tannehill will be better next – if he'll be good next year still, then you roll with Tannehill. I just
I just don't
– I don't think it's crazy for people to want Tom Brady.
I think if we put the same player in a different – in a jersey that didn't say New England or didn't say Tom Brady, there would be no argument that you would sign that guy – over what you had at quarterback this year. I mean, like, it's Tom Brady. I get
part of being Tom Brady.
It is a part of being Tom Brady. That's fine. But, like, the Super Bowls he won in the early 2000s mean nothing in 2020.
Well, no.
I mean, to me, that's a part of it. Like, this is – it's – I don't want to, like, go ahead and just say this would be, like, the Wizards bringing back Michael Jordan and trading Rip Hamilton to open up playing time for him, and then you're like, oh, Rip Hamilton turned out to be an all-star and an NBA champion, and Michael Jordan wasn't very efficient as he didn't take you to the playoffs, but like it seems like it would be similar to that.
Well, you don't have to think about the Super Bowls in the early 2000s, but, I mean, what about the recent Super Bowls, the recent trips to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I mean, that's still – Brady could still be that guy.
We're 3 years removed. We'll be 3 years removed from his big-time performance against the Eagles.
Time does not stop moving.
I mean, but against the Eagles, he was great. 500 yards, whatever. Last year's Super Bowl, he scored 13 points. Like, I mean, I'm not going – he won the Super Bowl. Congratulations to him. They won that Super Bowl relying on a run game, which the Titans will have, but also relying on the best defensive coach in the league, and – the Titans don't have that. The Titans don't have the defense that the Patriots had. But they're not great.
Is the goal to try to get better and is the goal to try to get to the Super Bowl for the Titans?
I hope so.
I mean, with what they've got,
to me, the goal next year is not go to the Super Bowl. It's to win the AFC South and prove that last year wasn't a fluke. Like be in the second round of the playoffs type of thing. You don't have to go back to the AFC Championship. You don't have to win the Super Bowl for me to consider a success. But, you know, go 11-5. Go 12-4. Do something like that. Don't struggle with bad teams and have to be winning in Week 17 to win a wild card spot. Like that, to me, that's more important.
You feel like Ryan Tannehill gives you a better chance to do that than a recharge Tom Brady?
In 2020, yes.
I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't really feel strongly one way or another. I don't think it's crazy for people to want Tom Brady, though.
To me, it's absurd in the sense of, like, you're getting Tom Brady and you're expecting Tom Brady. In that regard, like, you're expecting, hey, this is a guy who is the GOAT. This is a guy who's won 6 Super Bowls and all that. Like, to me, that guy's gone. Like,
well, maybe we expect a recharge, a resurgence from Tom Brady.
Does that not seem absurd?
Maybe that's
too?
What he needs.
But does that not seem absurd too to be expecting a 43-year-old quarterback to recharge? Like,
it would be
that's
unprecedented.
That's never happened before. Like,
it would be unprecedented that a guy that old would be able to do it. But
what would you rather gamble on? The idea that a 43-year-old quarterback could recharge in a new city in a new system, or that the guy who was the highest-rated passer that led the league in a lot of advanced metrics and threw the ball down the field deep and was very accurate can continue that type of success, at least close to that level of success? What would you rather bet on? Because
he's going
to
do that.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be number one in things, but I think he can be a top five AFC quarterback. I think he could do that. I think he could be the fifth or sixth best AFC quarterback. I'd rather bet on that than betting on the 43-year-old. That's just how I feel about it. And the guy went 9-3 as a starter? I feel like that's pretty tough if you're going to throw him to the side for an old Tom Brady.
Well, Brady was pretty good as a starter this year. They had a good record when Brady was a starter.
Yeah, but they did, but...
I mean, if we're going to make quarterback wins a stat, like, The Titans relied a lot on their defense and their run game, too.
That's, like, they did not rely on their defense. During their win streak, they were giving up almost 28 points a game. The defense in the playoffs was great, but the defense of the regular season was not.
I mean,
I'm just saying, like, once Tannehill took over.
So Tannehill threw for under 100 yards, and the defense played very
well. But he also made big passes to his third string tight end, a practice squad player in Khalif Raymond.
I was just saying the same stuff about Brady. Like, he didn't have a lot of weapons either.
I know, but one guy made it work, and the other guy didn't. Like, again, this wasn't – A.J. Brown wasn't beating people in the playoffs. Would you agree with that? A.J. Brown had a pretty relatively quiet playoffs.
I mean, Tannehill didn't really make it work in the playoffs, though.
He threw three touchdowns and ran for another one.
Yeah, but Derrick Henry, I mean.
Again, but against the Ravens. Touchdown to Jonnu Smith. Bomb to practice squad player Khalif Raymond.
What about this? What if Tom Brady has just been preserving his body and trying not to use too much because he wants to go somewhere else? And he's tired of New England. He's tired of Belichick. He's done with Belichick.
So that's what we have to hope for, that Brady's been sandbagging the last 2 years?
Yeah.
So you would rather bet on that than the guy who was so good last year?
Yeah, he's just waiting on a new start.
Cam, how do you feel about this? Because I am vehemently on Team Tannehill here.
Yeah, I think Brady's only going to go down. I just don't see any way of it.
We've seen the slip coming, right?
It's been going on, yeah. Like, it's progressed.
Do I think his skill players were good this year? No, not by any means. But, I mean, the people who are all of a sudden acting like the Titans have this plethora of skill players, explain to me 2-4 with Marcus Mariota. Like, everyone's like, oh, Tannehill got lucky. He had A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry and all these guys. Like, so did Marcus Mariota.
Well, and they also finally figured out how to run the ball. For some reason, it took them a long time to rely on Derrick Henry.
I don't think it's necessarily they just all of a sudden figured out how to run the ball as much as it was.
It seems that way. I mean, DeMarco Murray, Deion Lewis, like they just.
I mean, DeMarco Murray was pretty good in Tennessee.
But Derrick Henry's a monster.
I mean, I understand that, but Derrick Henry was there the first 6 weeks, and Derrick Henry was there last year. I would say Tannehill helping take the top off the defense helped a little bit too, like helping the offense actually complete passes. And
he was good coming in halfway through the year.
I think this is what's making me mad. I think it's finally clicked with you. This is no offense to you. No, don't take any offense to this at all. Seriously, don't take any offense to this, but this is what I've been having to deal with on the internet. Is a lot of people who, quite frankly, a handful of the people I've been arguing with aren't even Titans fans. With all due respect, you wouldn't consider yourself a Titans fan, right?
Yeah. I used to root for
them. But you haven't really watched closely to the Titans this year prior to the playoffs, correct?
I've watched a lot of their games because they're usually on my TV.
So you watch them closely. You're not a red zone guy. You don't just focus
on
the red zone.
Sometimes I'll watch red zone. Okay. But,
I feel like there's a lot of people who haven't watched the Titans that are trying to give takes on this that don't really know the team. And that's no disrespect to you. It's not your job to know about the Titans.
Do you have to be a Titans fan to have takes on the
Titans? I think some of the takes are bad, though. Like, when you're talking about how Derrick Henry all of a sudden just figured out how to run. Like, no, the offense.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that. I mean, they didn't use him. Like, is that not right?
I mean, they were kind of trying to use him, but, like, when Mariota couldn't throw and you don't have a quarterback who can make the throws Tannehill was making, that is tougher. Like, to me, the difference in the season is whenever you had Tannehill and when you didn't have Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's the difference of the year.
But he came in and he was successful halfway through the season.
Correct.
As the new thing, the new guy.
The guy who was actually being able to play quarterback and throw the ball accurately and, like, make really good throws.
But don't
lead
you
the
see
league
that?
In, like, adjusted completion percentage because he was completing passes that were statistically not supposed to be completed. Like, he was fitting into tight windows. He was throwing good throws. To me, that opened up A.J. Brown.
Have you not seen that in other, like, situations, though, and then, like, the next year they kind of get figured out? I mean, that's all I'm worried about with Tannehill. Once the film gets, you know, there's enough film on him, they have enough of a sample, the defensive coordinator starts studying it, and, you know, things change.
This wasn't a first-year quarterback coming in. This was Ryan Tannehill, who's been in the league for a while. Like, I mean, there's film out on Ryan Tannehill. He's not young.
Yeah, but
He's not some undrafted guy who got hot like Gardner Minshew for a couple weeks. Like,
they'll find tendencies, though.
Again, like, I mean, he's played in the league for a long time. It's not like they were slowing him down in weeks like 15, 16, and 17. I mean, he was still playing pretty well after having 2 months of film on.
Okay.
I mean, again, I don't think Tannehill's going to be as good as he was this year. I don't want to come across as sounding like I think that, but I think Brady was pretty bad this year. I would rather bet on the guy who's still younger, that's been in the system, that I've seen success with A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry and those tight ends. I'd rather bet on that to continue rather than the 43-year-old.
I guess a lot of people are betting on one of the great competitors of all time that he won't go out like that. And maybe it's nostalgia, but I think a lot of people are betting on Tom Brady to not finish his career like that.
Here's the problem with thinking like that, is that sometimes guys go out like that. Brett Favre went out like that.
Well,
Peyton Manning would have gone out like that had the defense just not been otherworldly. Or if Brock Osweiler was worth a damn, because they benched Peyton Manning for Brock Osweiler. But Brock couldn't do anything. He fumbled the ball.
Brady eats a lot of kale.
He does. He does eat a lot of kale.
It's a lot of kale. He eats, you know, he consumes a lot of different vegetables. So.
The problem with the fairy tale ending, the storybook fairy tale ending, is that it's really hard to do. That's why it's so special when it happens. Just because you're a legend doesn't mean that you get to go out on top. Like, Michael Jordan didn't get the Wizards to the playoffs, you know?
They made the mistake of hanging around too long, and maybe that's what'll happen with Brady.
That's what I would be worried about, is that once that decline starts happening, I'm not going to bet on a 43-year-old to flip the switch and fight back on that. It doesn't usually happen that way.
Yeah, I don't know. It just sounds very ageist.
I mean, it's just the harsh reality.
There's a lot of 70-year-old guys running marathons these days.
They can't run as fast as the 28-year-olds.
Things are changing. Technology's changing.
I'll take a young guy from Kenya over a 70-year-old guy from Kenya.
Why do they have to be from Kenya?
Isn't that the fastest country?
They're good at distance stuff.
Well, we're talking about marathons, right? Yeah, we're talking about marathons. So not fastest, but the fastest marathon runners. I was just paying respect. I didn't want to whitewash marathon running.
Do you think that there are any 80-year-olds who can run faster than any 20-year-old?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like an 80-year-old guy that runs marathons
versus
like an
80-year-old guy that could beat me and you in a race.
You think?
Probably.
Not a sprint.
Probably not a sprint, but in a mile.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
There's some guys with endurance.
But against a 20-year-old runner? No.
No.
No. It's not being ageist, it's just being realistic.
Realistic is not as fun. You know?
You ever hear the joke about realistically versus hypothetically? And Brad Pitt?
No.
And the sisters and mothers and sons?
No. Never heard it.
All right. Hour two's in the book, hour three's on deck. Yep.
Saturdays are for seltzers.
Overrated. Very overrated.
It's overrated.
Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I'm going to tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. Perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right. Are y'all ready to play overrated, underrated?
I'm looking forward to it, Cameron.
All right. First up we have, since they are going bankrupt, Crystals.
Ooh.
Crystals is vastly overrated. Vastly. Those burgers suck. I don't even know how you call them burgers. They're like, what they are, they're like those microwave burgers that you get. You know how you can buy in the frozen food section those little hamburgers that are like they come in the blue box? They're awful. They're terrible. Nobody likes them. When you're hammered is the only time you even consider it, and it's only because they're open, and you get tired of, like, McDonald's. It's only because they're open. Now, the chicks, I'll say, are okay. The chicks are okay. I can stand the chicks. The corn pups are okay. But all in all, the people that eat the Crystals, that eat the burgers, it's overrated. And as I pointed out, the fries suck too, by the way. Everybody notes the fries suck.
The fries do suck.
And as I pointed...
The fries do suck. That is a big part of this. The fries suck.
And as I pointed out the other day... This is a chain that shares its name with a stripper.
But I always feel like we argue more on overrated, underrated than we do this or that. But I guess we technically don't, because we argue all the time on this or that. But not to like pull your card, but last week you're all about supporting Tennessee businesses, yet you come on here and you are hating on Crystals, which was founded in Chattanooga.
Yeah, it's a new week.
Okay. Just doesn't add up, I guess.
Sometimes I change my mind.
Yeah. I think Crystals has become slightly underrated. I've seen a lot of hate for it recently. Is it great? Is it fine dining? No. By no means is it that. Does it taste good? Does it hit just the spot sometimes? Yeah, it does. A drunk sackful is one of life's greater delicacies.
That's not even meat. Is it even? What is it? I mean,
you go to Taco Bell, bro. Don't come on here acting like you're above.
I'm not
what that, Crystals
not,
sells.
No, that,
by saying
that,
it's
that
not
helps,
meat.
That helps me as an expert on the matter. I'm not saying that. I eat a lot of trash food.
Get a Crystal Chick.
I know I
get
eat
a
lot
chick.
Of trash food.
The chicks are pretty good.
That's my point. It's so bad that I won't even eat it.
I've heard some people say that the little dogs are good too. The little hot dogs. I don't ever get them, but some people say those are good.
I've had the chili cheese pup once or twice. It's
Is it good?
Yeah, it's okay.
I've heard people say good things. I can't get over the fries, though. The fries do suck. The fries are trash.
There's too much mustard on the burgers and things. There's too much mustard.
Too much mustard on the burgers?
Yeah, too much.
I do feel like there's always too much mayo on the chicks. I do say the problem is that I find it with Crystals now, which actually I might have to switch this and go slightly overrated, is that most of the Crystals that are still standing aren't really in the best places. And aren't really like the cleanest and like best ran. It's been a long time since I've been to Crystals, and I thought, oh, this was a really clean establishment.
It's because Crystals are for pores.
Yeah, I think you're onto something. Slightly overrated. Slightly overrated. I do love the chicks, but they put too much mustard. The mustard's not really a problem. The mayonnaise on the chicks, big problem.
I feel like you could ask for less.
They don't have good mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, Cameron, is go ask the people at Crystals to start altering my order as if they already aren't mad enough that they're working at Crystals.
You could get them
plain. I want
them
to start handling my food more.
You could get them plain and then get your own mayonnaise.
That way they take my mayonnaise, they take the bun and just wipe it on the counter back there to scrape off some mayonnaise.
That's how they get rid of
it. Lick it off.
Yeah, that's what I want, Cameron. Yeah, I could always just ask for less. Why didn't I think of that? It's 2 a.m. I'm sure that's what they want to be doing, is scraping off some mayonnaise for me.
Gross.
They replaced the mayonnaise with something you don't want on the chick, buddy.
Ugh. All right.
He's referring to semen.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on. All right. Next up we have the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Baseball Hall of Fame, I mean, I got to say overrated just because it's at the point now where the best players aren't getting in. Pete Rose, Hit King, Barry Bonds, best player ever. Neither one of those guys are in. Seems kind of stupid. I understand they cheated. I get that one gambled, one did all this, blah, blah, blah. They're two of your best players ever. They should be in the Hall of Fame. That's not a hot take. That's the common take, but...
Yeah. I guess I'll say it's underrated for the same reason. Makes it more coveted, right?
I mean, it is cooler than the Basketball Hall of Fame. The Basketball Hall of Fame is kind of stupid. No one really cares about it.
I think Hall of Fames – do you think, like, Hall of Fames in general have gotten too many people in them? Like, for it to be uniquely, like, the Hall of Fame, like, maybe you don't let everyone – like, you look at, like, the Music Hall of Fame these days, they're letting in, like – I mean, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they're letting in some pretty bad bands.
Right. The WWE Hall of Fame put the damn Honky Tonk Man in a couple years ago. Like they're putting in like seven people a year. That's too much.
Maybe it should be more coveted. Like it should be reserved for just the absolute elite.
Sure.
Top of the craft.
All due respect to Larry Walker. Probably shouldn't be a Hall of Famer.
Well, have you seen, like, take Nashville, for example. Have you seen how big that Country Music Hall of Fame building is?
No.
We keep putting more people in there. They're going to need new wings. They're going to have to build up. I mean, the building's already massive. I think we should cut back on who gets in the Hall of Fame. I'll go overrated.
I feel like we should start taking people out.
Yeah.
You got a finite. You get 150 people in. Get 150 people in, and once we start putting more people in, are we going to put Larry Walker in? Sure, but we got to take this guy back out from 1950.
It's the same with the Star Walk in Hollywood. Too many now. Too many. You should take a few away. It makes it more special. Maybe start with Harvey Weinstein. Like the Comedians Hall of Fame. I'm sure they have one, too. You reserve it to just the ones that are really the best.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
Yeah. All right. Well, we agree.
Sweet.
See, it's not as good when we agree.
I think it's okay. The take is correct. Our take is right.
You're right. I'm right. We both agree. Let's move on.
You're wrong. About Crystals. I actually ended up being right about that too. I ended up with slightly overrated, too.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can keep it up.
All right. You're next so up, we have coupons.
Coupons, I got to say, are underrated, but I don't use them enough. And I always feel stupid for not using them. You know how it is. You get in the mail like once a month. You get this just huge coupon bundle. And it's got like every fast food restaurant in there that you could eat at. It's got regular restaurants. Like if you used a coupon every time you ate, I imagine like every time you eat out, whether it's fast food or regular restaurant or whatever, and if you actually took the time to use those like oil change coupons and all that stuff, I imagine the money that you actually save over a year's time is probably substantial. And for that reason, I got to say, underrated. But I never take the time to use them.
The problem is the coupons lead me to spend more money. So I got to go overrated in that respect of like the coupons. You're like, oh, I got a coupon. I'm going to save some money. Yeah, sometimes. But sometimes it's going to entice you to go buy things you don't need. I'm a sucker for the email coupon. Yeah. Oh, 50% off. So then I start looking. Oh, okay, I could buy this new shirt or I could buy this hoodie, blah, blah, blah. Didn't really need it. Spent more money. Coupons are stupid.
Yeah, maybe for that reason, if you unless you really need the thing. I'm talking about like food coupons for the most part.
Yeah.
But then again, that probably makes you added calories. Like if you get the two for the buy one Whopper, get one Whopper free, then you eat two Whoppers and ultimately that kills you. So
yeah.
So maybe they're
coupons are trying to kill us.
Maybe they're over. Yeah. Well, coupon, plus,
look, coupons are trying to make you buy more stuff. They're trying to make you buy stuff you don't need. Just buy in bulk if you're going to do that. Like, just save some money. If you're like, oh, I could get the toilet paper $3 off. Well, just go buy 80 rolls from Sam's Club. You're going to use the toilet paper eventually. You could save the money that way.
And also, I think that we need to get with the times and the way that the coupons come to you. They come in that plastic thing that's you have
just hit
to use.
Your phone, though. Sometimes they just hit your phone.
Yeah, but if you use the real ones, you got to cut them out with scissors. I mean, who has scissors in 2020?
Now, doing that seems very overrated. If you have to actually send me the coupons and I have to take them to the store, that doesn't seem like it's worth the hassle. That would be very overrated. I'm not going to keep a coupons and do that.
I always remember that I've got them in the car, and I'll be like going to get some fast food or something.
And then you get some in the mail, and you're like, I'm going to save these, but then you don't actually save them. They just pack stack up on your counter, and then eventually you throw them away.
And they're outdated. Exactly. Yeah, that happens a lot. Plus, I never have scissors in the car.
Read the damn fine print on the coupons,
too. You got to tear them.
Don't forget about the fine print.
Yeah.
Excludes this and this offer, and you get
only
there.
If you buy this 20 other things.
Right, and you get there, and you're like, oh, damn, I guess I can't use this coupon, but then you're already at the place, so then you're like, oh, might as well, I guess.
Some restrictions may apply.
The restrictions, they always apply.
Void where necessary,
Void where prohibited. Of course, it's void where prohibited. It's prohibited.
Only certain, places do them.
Yeah.
They have a different language, different wording for
participating locations may vary.
Yes, that's what we're looking for. Yeah. Good one. That's what I was trying to say.
What was it you said?
Only some places do them.
That doesn't say that on the coupon. Yeah.
Just because the Burger King on Broadway does it, the one on a different road might not.
It's too much of a hassle. I'll just pay the extra 50 cents. Just leave me the hell alone. I would pay the extra 50 cents and not have to throw away all this stuff. To not have it stack up in my house.
And plus it.
To not kill all the trees.
Yeah. We're just wasteful.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. I'm good.
I think we
agree. Coupons are very overrated.
I think we agree on that one.
All right. Next up, we have hibachi.
Hibachi's underrated. I love hibachi. It's one of my favorite foods. I have nothing else to say other than it's delicious. I enjoy the sauce. I enjoy the combination of chicken, steak, and rice. I think it's nice together. Throw in some carrots, fresh off the grill. Sprinkle some sauce on it. That's a really good meal. That's a great meal.
Our first disagreement. I got to say hibachi's overrated.
Wow.
You need a pound of yum-yum sauce to make it good.
No, that's not true.
Everybody always says white people don't season their food. Well, what about the Japanese people?
Oh, no.
I'm just saying that stuff is not seasoned. There's no seasoning. That steak is the blandest steak you will ever eat. The blandest chicken you will ever eat. The vegetables are bland. The rice is bland. I mean, they put some onions in it, give it a little soy sauce maybe. But overall, it's not seasoned well enough. And again, without the yum-yum sauce, hibachi, nobody eats it. If I said, I'll give you a plate of hibachi right now, but no yum-yum sauce, you'd be like, I'm good. I'm good.
Not me. I would eat a salad. I would eat it. I would say, thank you. I'll enjoy this. I'm going to turn out steak, chicken. Steak and chicken and rice. Are you kidding me?
It's not good steak. That steak is not steak. You can't get steak for $9. I mean, that you know.
You can't really get hibachi for $9 either. Not good hibachi.
You can get a lunch portion, which is pretty good portion. I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong. But you got to have the yum-yum sauce. Well, I mean, it's overrated.
The yum-yum sauce is important. It is important. I will say that. I agree there. But it's still good without it.
It's good, but it's overrated.
All right, fair enough.
I might have that for lunch.
Nice to see you're strong with your conviction.
Do we have one more, or is that it?
I got one more if
one
you
more?
Want it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, next up we have apple cider.
Yeah, that sounds disgusting, overrated.
Are we talking about hot apple cider or like the alcohol? It sounds
disgusting. Like, what does apple cider bring to the table?
I like the hot apple cider that you have during the holidays.
Who cares? What?
The non-alcoholic hot apple cider. It takes me back to when I was in school as a kid. We used to have it at our elementary school for some reason. We would always have hot apple cider when, like around Christmas or Thanksgiving or something. I kind of like that, but not the alcohol kind. I don't like it.
What about spiked hot apple cider?
Yeah, see, I don't know. Anything spiked, that's something I got a real problem with. Speaking of the Japanese, anything spiked and hot, you ever had the hot sake? Oh, God, that is the most disgusting thing. Heated up liquor. That's the only thing that can make liquor more gross is when it's boiling. It's disgusting. Have you ever had that sake?
No.
It's awful.
I'm going to take a sip of it. It wasn't good.
No, it's not.
It wasn't good at all.
It's horrifying is what it is. So, I don't know. Overrated on the cider. I don't know.
Any more thoughts on the Japanese you want to get off your chest?
Properly rated on the cider. Properly rated.
Anything else about the Japanese you want to get off your chest?
No. You know how I feel about the Japanese. Tokyo's crowded. You know. I got no problem with the Japanese as a people. Don't try to paint me with that brush.
I was just asking, bro. But
I don't like sake, and I don't think hibachi is very well seasoned. That's all I'm saying. All
right, just checking.
I got no problem with the people and who they are.
Just checking.
Come on.
Last call on the other side.